In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It is a fact. Study the Bible, and you can read passages over and over again, and you see what you expect to see, what you've always seen. But the truth is, you have been missing something that you should have noticed. I like to think that I'm a decent, at least halfway decent, student of Scripture, but I'm just as likely as the next person to miss something surprising and yet completely obvious in the Bible. So when I started my preparation on today's gospel, on this sermon, several days ago, I immediately thought of the way that Jesus uses this parable of the fig tree to talk about fruitfulness and about how important it is to repent. And I was in good company in that approach. Most of the commentaries on this parable are pretty much the same thing. Nothing surprising there, because this is a message that Jesus says either directly or through parables elsewhere in the gospel. But I was missing something. Something I hadn't noticed before. So much for being a smarty pants biblical scholar. I didn't notice it until it was mentioned by a colleague of mine, the Reverend Eric Law. He's an Asian American priest who works on the West Coast. And Eric was leading a Bible study on today's passage with a group of Chinese refugees. And one of the people in the group posed a question. What's a fig tree doing in a vineyard? A great question. It's the obvious question, one that no one ever talked about before. What's a fig tree doing in a vineyard? If you've ever gone on one of those winery tours, you'll see row upon row of well-tended vines, all beautifully supported by trellises or frames. Occasionally, if the vineyard owner follows the French tradition, there may be a rose bush planted at the end of a row. But you will never see another plant that takes nutrients from the soil that could benefit the grapevine. A grower wouldn't compromise his plantings by throwing a wild card, if you will, into the ground. And a fig tree could be considered such a wild card. So what is a fig tree doing in the vineyard? It doesn't belong there. It's like that old children's game. One of these things is not like the other. But let's assume, at least at this stage of the sermon, that the grower had his reasons for planting the fig tree in the vineyard. Maybe he didn't have another spot for it. Maybe he just didn't think much about it and plopped it there on a hot afternoon when he didn't have the energy to find it its proper place. But then a couple of years passes. The grower goes out into the vineyard and he sees that fig tree there and he is aggravated, because this is the third year that the tree has leafed out but hasn't borne any fruit. Now imagine you're living in a hot place where water is at a premium, topsoil's mighty thin. For 3 years, you have waited for a fig. Figs are delicious, they're luscious, they're sweet. For 3 years, you have waited for this tree to offer you something in return for the nurturing and the water that you have provided for it, and you have gotten a single fig. And you can taste it in your mind, but you can't taste it in real life because this useless tree has not done its job. Can you feel the frustration and the annoyance that the grower is feeling? So not surprisingly, the grower says to his gardener, the one who actually does the real work, trash that tree. It's a waste of land and water. It makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, why would you keep a fruitless tree in your yard? And it isn't entirely out of character for a vineyard owner, a grower of grapes, to do that. After all, every year he instructs his gardener to prune the grapevines so that they could be more fruitful. It's a common practice, indeed it's one that's encouraged for grapes, to get rid of the dead vines that no longer produce. So why not yank that fig tree out of the ground and toss it on the compost pile? I am, of course, assuming that they had compost piles there. But the gardener has another idea. He says, Sarah, let me nurture it for another year. I'm going to put a little more manure around it, maybe give it a little extra water. I think if we're patient, it will fruit next year. And if it doesn't, then I'll toss it. The gardener wants to give the fig tree one more chance to do what it is meant to do, to be fruitful. Jesus doesn't tell us what the grower says in response to this request. We presume he grudgingly agrees. He may have his doubts, but he thinks, well, what harm can it give me? What harm does it do to me to give it one more year? One more year. One more chance. Now here's where it gets interesting, because I want to loop back to that Bible study that Father Eric was leading with those Chinese refugees. The same person who I swear should be a seminary professor because of his astute observational powers, he asks another question. What kind of fruit is this man looking for? If he's looking for grapes, he isn't going to find any. And besides, the Chinese name of the fig tree is no flower fruit. So a fig tree bears fruit very differently from the grapevines. Maybe the grower was expecting his fig tree to produce in exactly the same way that his grapes did. Now here's the kicker, your Google fact for the day. According to Google, which of course always tells us the truth, it takes fig trees between 3 and 5 years to first produce fruit. Ah. So it wasn't so odd for 3 years to pass without fruit from that fig tree. The fig tree was doing exactly what fig trees do. They grow for a few years before they start to produce. Perhaps the gardener knew this, perhaps not, but something in him said, maybe if we continue to encourage this tree, it will fruit next year. More likely, and to state the obvious, the gardener knew that the fig tree was not a grapevine. Fig trees and grapevines are very different plants, and you can't expect a fig tree to act like a grapevine. Fig trees take longer to produce fruit. By the same token, they don't require the same rigorous pruning and trellising that grapes do. Grapes are not the same as figs. That is just fine. So the fig tree got a second chance. The gardener was willing to work with the tree and to encourage it when that vineyard owner was ready to judge it permanently useless, prematurely, as it turns out. As with all of Jesus' parables, there are the interpretations that are built on the most obvious reading, and then there are the deeper ones that we discover when we look for the thing that was there all along that we always missed. like, why is there a fig tree in the vineyard? This is not just a story about fruitfulness. This is not just a story about how trees that don't bear fruit will be destroyed. It is also, and perhaps more importantly, a story about second chances. About the fact that each of us need second chances to understand how God is working in our lives and how we respond to God. In fact, none of us is fruitful all the time. We have our fallow times, our times of darkness and troubles, just like plants that don't bear for a season for one reason or another. We have our times when we feel like we have nothing to offer a broken world. But somehow, the Lord, like that gardener, keeps giving us second chances to figure it out. Second chances that nudge us toward fruitfulness once again. And we all need that, don't we? And the corollary to this, and you knew I turned this around, didn't you? Is that none of us has the right to act like the vineyard owner, judging that something or someone is useless and needs to be discarded. If the Lord is willing to give us a second chance, if the Lord sees that each of us develops as spiritual beings at different rates, if the Lord keeps on nurturing us even when it seems that we will never be fruitful, that we will never get it, if the Lord says, one more year, who are we to judge who is fruitful and who should be cast on the compost heap? Amen.